Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Boom. Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Wednesday morning, early Wednesday morning. Today came early, 2:30 for your old pal. Just woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. Standard once a week bit. And, man, it just makes for a long-ass day. That's all right, though. We got 4 hours here together. Going to enjoy every second of it as best we can. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Benjamin, how are you, my friend?
Good morning. Sorry to hear that you couldn't get a little extra sleep this morning.
It's annoying.
You wake up like feeling stressed?
Vomitous. Not like nauseous.
Like yesterday.
No, it was Monday. It's that weird feeling. You wake up at 2:30 and you're like, oh God, please go back to sleep. And you try and you snuggle in and nothing. Just doesn't happen for you. And so then you get up and you start like, all right, well, start prepping for the show and looking at stuff on your phone. And I laid in bed, bro, for 2 hours and then got up and got ready. Made the kids lunches, and that's been a nightmare because now Taylor refuses to eat sandwiches at all. So he will not eat a sandwich. Yeah, no sandwiches.
I wouldn't eat a sandwich at that age either.
This kid had a Jersey Mike's themed birthday party.
All right, so here's the thing, Paulie. This is welcome to my nightmare. He'll eat sandwiches if they're from Jersey Mike's. So for dinner 2 nights ago, we got Jersey Mike's.
The man knows good taste.
So I put half of a sandwich in his lunch yesterday. He gets home. I didn't want that bacon in there. I said, but you asked for bacon when I ordered the sandwich. Turkey, bacon, and mustard is what you wanted. I didn't like the bacon. Okay? Bo, how was yours? Fine. Great. So now Taylor wants, I'm not kidding when I say this, he wants, a charcuterie board, essentially, in his lunch. So Hannah wants to get him a bunch of salami and pepperoni. I go, no, it's terrible for you. Terrible. Just nitrates.
Some gabagool.
Yeah, gabagool. Like, no, I'm not. Here's the thing, too. I'm not waking up in the morning and cutting up salami and shit. Like,
most parents would just go, Lunchables for the win.
Yeah, I can't do Lunchables either. I've read too much bad stuff about Lunchables. And that's the problem is I don't necessarily eat healthy all the time, but I want my kids to. I don't want to be the guy that's like, yeah, have a Lunchable. You'll be fine. So I try to like make an effort on it. But he won't eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He won't eat a turkey sandwich unless it's from Jersey Mike's with no bacon, even though he ordered the bacon the night before and ate it no problem for dinner. So this morning, I'm up, opening up Baby Bells, putting crackers in there, some raspberries, some blackberries. I'm making a GD charcuterie board at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm making another sandwich for Bo, and we're back to Woodsy's Diner. Yeah.
Woods- honeycomb, some spicy mustard, Marcona almonds.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
Here, Taylor, do you want me to stuff the blue cheese into the olives, or do you just want it separate, you little ass? How do you want it? Yeah, so I'm making a charcuterie board.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I did that this morning, and then I got on the road, came to work. So, yeah.
All right.
And, but, you know, the other thing is Hannah's always like, well, just let Bo eat hot lunch. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to trust this kid to go to school and eat hot lunch, right? Where he'll get a carrot, a grape, and God knows what else he'll get. Like, who knows what else he'll get? I have no idea. I cannot trust them to make the right decisions. I'm their parent. I'm going to make the right decisions for them.
You make me feel like a very lackluster parent, because when my youngest was that age, he would really eat nothing but buttered noodles. And we just let him, because that's the only thing he would eat.
It's so interesting but that now, you bring up buttered noodles. So, last night, boys were with their nanny, Riley, till about 4:30. So we had a little time to ourselves. Got home. They're playing Pokemon cards on the floor. Gentlemen, what sounds good for dinner? Taylor, immediately. Butter noodles. All right. You can do that. Bubba, what do you want? Spaghetti and meatballs, butter noodles. I want butter noodles, too. All right. Not done. Easy. A little butter noodles, some fruit. Call it a day. So I order it from DoorDash, of course, because I didn't have any noodles and I wasn't about to go get some. So get butter noodles from Noodles & Co. Noodles & Company. Fine. Delicious.
Did that with my kids before a few times.
Ordered myself some tortellini. Outstanding tortellini. Outstanding. So we're going to make the pasta night. Butter noodles come. Open up the thing. Get everybody ready. Bo comes down, sits down, starts eating. Taylor goes, and laying on the ground, writhing in pain. I go, what? I don't like those. I go, it's butter. It's noodles. It's a little bit of cheese. They put some green spice on it. Just a little dash. Maybe it's pepper or something. That's it. Done. Didn't need a bite of it. So it's fascinating that you say buttered noodles, Benjamin. I'm at a loss.
I mean, plain is plain. And if you're serving something plain, you shouldn't be putting
spice.
Yes.
That's just how it comes.
You can have them remove it. There's options when you're ordering.
But it's like, bro, this is just butter, noodles, and cheese, and there's a little bit of like, I mixed it up. Like
I couldn't tell you
how
many 99-cent bags of pasta from Trader Joe's I made.
Oh, yeah.
With just, you know,
slab of
put
butter.
The butter in the end, just let it melt.
Well, you get.
Shake it all up, add a little bit of salt, and
you go.
There's your meal again.
I don't blame you. I don't blame my parents. When I was a kid, I don't know that nutrition existed. Like, I don't even know that the word nutrition existed. We ate takeout. We ate. Like, my mom rarely cooked. She was a good cook. They both worked full time. My dad certainly never cooked. Like, I mean, make something on the grill maybe on the weekends. But I did not
eat something healthy, like steak and a baked potato.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Home-cooked meal. Yeah, home-cooked meals in the South are way different. But, like, I did not come home every night, and we did not sit at a table with a well-balanced meal. My mom would be like, do y'all want chilies? Yeah, just get some chilies. I want crispers, extra honey mustard. You know, like, that was our life, and it was fine. Now there's such an emphasis being put on nutrition and trying to teach your kids good habits so that they're not mainlining, you know, butter and cheese when they're like I do. I just don't want them to be like me.
I even think about like the school lunches, like the cafeteria school lunches. They weren't great.
They weren't.
Hey, they didn't taste great.
They didn't taste good. They weren't healthy.
And they weren't healthy. Like, I think it wasn't until high school, maybe middle school, but definitely high school, where they had like a salad bar.
Yes. Yes. Bo will go to the salad bar. You know what he does? He gets a big old scoop full of cheese, no lettuce,
shredded cheese,
and like
salami and some egg.
And like a carrot. One carrot. I caught him one day. I went to pick him up early. I was like, what is on your tray? That's what you eat? He's like, sorry. Because I'm trying to push some protein and get some protein in you. Get some protein.
A big square of pizza and a chocolate
and
milk.
And a big blob of cheese to eat and a chocolate milk. That's it. So, man, I'm telling you.
We had chocolate milk. It was only on Fridays. Chocolate milk. And then, I don't know, probably like fifth or sixth grade, they just switched to a chocolate milk is available. Paulie, you could have regular or chocolate. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Bro, in my sixth grade, when you graduated to sixth grade from, you know, elementary school, and you go, it was sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade together. And it was, I mean, the school was 10 times bigger. It felt like a high school. You went from class to class. It was like, whew. You go to the cafeteria and you're like, you walk in day one, you go, oh my God, they had soda machines. You could go get a Coke. I got a baked potato for lunch every day. Butter, sour cream, cheese. My parents didn't ask me what I had for lunch. As long as you ate, it's just things are different now. And we've learned so much about how food can affect us and how addictive it is. I mean, it is, it's crazy.
I agree with you, and that's why I always felt like maybe I wasn't as good of a parent as I should be. I will say buttered noodle kid, who we considered chocolate milk like the healthiest thing that he would actually
100%.
Consume.
Yeah.
Is a great eater now, is in really good shape.
Yeah.
You know, he tries everything, he likes everything. It just took a while for him to finally get there, but we let him get there on his own. Just on his own recognizance.
It's like, I'm also, it's weird because I'm not really what you'd consider like a helicopter parent at all, but I'm trying to be more helicoptery as it comes to foods and making good, healthy decisions and knowing that like Taylor though, one thing he will do, so he didn't eat his buttered noodles last night. You know what he did? He ate 2 full bananas, 5 full strawberries, 10 blackberries, 10 blueberries, 5 raspberries and was like, all right, I'm good. Like it, but no protein at all, just fruit. So I'm like, all right, that's not the worst thing in the world. And I guess can't get mad at him for not eating, you know, carbs and fats. But it's just a challenge, bro. And then trying to make the lunch the next day. So that's where I'm at right now. That's what I've been doing. Did you do lunches? What did they take for lunch when they were kids? Just PB&J and chips and an apple or something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was always a stretch to try to come up with something. Cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
And just, you know, kind of, it was more like an assortment of snack items than any main course.
That's Taylor. Yeah. Rob says, mine ate what he was given. I try that, dude. I really do. Trust
Aren't
me.
Aren't you
like,
so special?
I know. I try the bit, like, if they're, and I've told Hannah before, if he's hungry enough, he'll eat. And if he's not, he won't. But then again, I also don't like the thought of starving my children.
You say, at what point does that become a problem?
I just don't know. I just don't know what to do.
At what point are you a bad parent?
It's really hard.
Your kid hasn't eaten in 2 days.
I mean, if you're a parent, I sympathize with you, man. It's hard. It's really hard out there. So we're all just doing our best in here. Fruit has sugar, Petey says. Yeah, I get it. But it's better than a cinnamon roll sucked down by, you know, 14 cookies and a bag of Cheez-Its. Like, if he eats fruit, good. It's good sugar. You know, eat a bunch of fruit. It's not going to hurt you.
My house looks like my front yard looks like a New England forest floor today after the winds yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it was nasty.
Leaves all over the place. I'm sure that's common around the county right now.
I can give you my blower, and you can blow it, and then kids can ask you to blow them in the yard like my kids asked me last week. You want my blower?
No, where would you blow it to? I just, you know, it's just over to the neighbor's yard. It seems like that's a...
It's actually a really good question.
Counterproductive.
I think you blow it in a pile, and then you scoop it into a bag and throw it in that big green garbage can.
More of the thought that eventually the winds will
just
pick
go
up again
away
and it'll just blow somewhere else.
Yeah, it's kind of not my problem. Do you have trees in your yard?
No.
Oh, it's other people.
It's all from like other places. It's just blown to my house. I don't have big trees that drop leaves. The next door in the park, there's big trees, and they have, you know, an HOA gardener who comes and handles that, but I don't know that he comes over to my house to pick up the leaves that fell from the trees in the park next door. So,
I mean, not a lot of blowing going on at your house or mine.
Then again, I don't want to get on the bad side of our new HOA director either. I got that email the other day from, I guess we have a new HOA manager. And this was the extent of the entire email. And there's no capitalization, just mind you, and the spelling errors throughout. I am the new manager for your HOA. I will be assisting the board in maintaining the property and shared goals of improvements that the HOA needs to keep the property safe and preserving property value.
So she said,
end of email.
So she said property three times. She misspelled it once to property.
Yeah, improvements was misspelled.
Improvements.
HOA
Hello, my baby.
Was not capitalized. I'm a little concerned about the direction of our neighborhood here.
Yeah, I don't. We have one. I don't ever hear from them, which is
that's good. That's usually a win if you're not hearing from them.
Yeah,
I'm going to get. You need to clean up the leaves in your yard today.
JH619 said, "Must be a Dodger fan." That was my exact quote yesterday when Ben read me the email. I go, "Oh, you have a Dodger fan in your neighborhood. You are a looser. Don't chalk this season, ladies and gentlemen." Well, I woke up again this morning, and I think I'm in a little bit of a grumpy mood because I woke up looking for, you know, something wrapped up under the tree, the Padres tree, and did not see anything yet. Still out there kicking tires is A.J. Preller.
Now, we'll discuss again. I don't know what you're hoping for or expecting.
Anything. Anything to improve our team.
At this point?
Just anything. Just something to improve our team.
Plenty of stuff to talk about with the rumors that are flying around.
Lots of rumors.
Dylan Cease and Roky Sasaki and all the news. It just nothing's actually taken place involving your San Diego Padres. But certainly discussions seem to be happening.
Get ready to speak Southie, Dylan Cease. That's the rumor we're hearing. You know, Boston Red Sox interested in one Dylan Cease. I'm sure
Rocky, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, David, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny, and Brian.
And Dylan.
And Dylan.
Hey, nice mustache! Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, there's a lot of hubbub.
Less painting, more pitching.
Oh, look who's here! Oh, look, a regular Picasso! Why don't you throw a strike? That's what he's in store for next year.
Oh, you got your big fancy frisbee golf course.
Oh, look at him, Mr. Disc Golfer. Yeah, he's going to love that place. Love it. Hey, Vincent Van Gogh. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. What can we get back for him? That's the mood. That's the mode I'm in now is like, I need some action. This is boring, and I want some action. Start moving pieces and start improving this team for next year.
All right, we'll set the menu for the program. We also need to catch up a little bit on our Bedden Woods Wrapped from the year. We didn't do it yesterday. That was our bad. But we got something from the month of April that is it's always fun from the Bedden Woods archives that we can get to as well. We'll let you know
when
who's coming
Ben
up.
Ben goes out of town.
Yes, when Ben goes
Paul
out of town.
Woodsy get a little creative.
We will let you know who's going to be on the program today as well. All coming up next. Let's check traffic quickly and then off and running here on a Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can, if you're on our YouTube stream, you can sort of see it over Paulie's shoulder. We got a sunrise for the ages this morning in San Diego. You look to the east, about as colorful and vibrant as it's going to get. That's one of the very few benefits of the Santa Ana winds we've lived through the last couple of days, which are usually pretty miserable on my sinuses. And obviously the fire danger is awful, but Ooh, sunrises are nice.
I've been getting notifications the last couple of days. We live in like South Escondido. We're right on the edge of the red flag warning area. And they said, we may be switching off your power in the next 24 to 48 hours. Be prepared. I'm like, okay. Sounds good.
People are saying, are you guys sure that sunrise isn't the fires? Are there fires going on right now?
Well, I mean, some smoke particles in the air do tend to accentuate some of the colors of a sunrise, but that's not like, those aren't flames. It's an actual sunrise that's going on right now.
Now, Betty and I did endorsements for SDG&E, the PSPS app. I do have the PSPS app. I was monitoring mine yesterday because I had seen some people are getting shut out of power, and I'm in like the orange. It's like, hey, it's under alert. You're under alert. I'm like, oh boy.
In the red, but right on the edge. So we're hoping we don't have to deal with that because, it's never fun.
Oh, Gus says, we've been without power. They said it could be off until Friday. Man, oh my God. That's that thing. All right. So that's a good reminder to all of us to get that emergency kit ready in case you need it, the generator.
Oh, yeah.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. We could use a little rain in San Diego. We could. It's been a very dry fall so far. There's a chance maybe a little bit later this week the humidity is going to return, but don't think we're getting a ton of wet weather, and the brush is very dry. The fire danger remains very high, although I do believe the red flag warnings expire this morning, so hopefully the winds are going to die down a little bit going forward.
But
that's what we're looking at out our window here. Before we get to our menu, since we missed it yesterday, we need to catch up on a little Ben and Woods Wrapped. Looking back at our favorite moments from the year, month by month, and we go back to the month of April when I took a little bit of vacation time. I didn't take nearly as much this year as previous years. In fact, Woods outpaced me on the vacationing in 2024. But
I did.
I was gone for like 2.5 days at the end of April, and as you guys tend to do.
Well, quickly, you know what's crazy? Is we were going back over our year in review, the Ben and Woods program. And if our calculations are correct, as much vacation as I did take, I went to Hawaii, and I'm changing. I'm never leaving you guys for 8 shows
again. I might have even beaten Ben this year.
Paulie might have beaten Ben. Benny really did not take a lot of vacay this year, which is, I mean, look, you had a 5-year head start on us.
True.
You had multiple Hawaiian vacations. I think you went to Europe a couple of times. There was definitely some vacation, Ben. It was a thing for a while. But we sat down. We were going over, like, auditing our year as we usually do. If our calculations are correct, the entire show only missed one day this year. One, where we were all three off at the same time that wasn't an already company holiday.
Yeah.
And it was like right around Memorial Day that we just said, I'm out, bang it, bang it.
There were plenty of days like in this clip we're about to play where
it's me and you,
one of
you
us
and
was
him.
Gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Ben and Woods show was still on the air.
I'm proud of that.
One day.
I'm very proud of that.
And it was, I think it was in May.
It was May, yeah. It was around Memorial
you
Day.
You were out of town.
We took a four-day Memorial Day weekend.
Correct.
Instead of a three-day
weekend.
You were
out Thursday, Friday, making it an extra long weekend.
Yep.
Ben and I did I think we had an early show Thursday because of a road Padres game or something, and then we just said, let's take Friday off.
Yeah,
that's
look at us.
The only day we took off.
Beat your chest, gentlemen. You've earned it.
Nice work, guys.
Yeah. Serving our audience.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Serving the audience. And that's what we're trying to do with Ben and Woods Wrapped here. So, yeah, back in April, I was gone, and you guys got into the production studio, picked up the phone, and had a little bit of fun.
Oh, I don't remember this.
All right, we're doing a prank call because Ben is going.
What happened?
You could see it all falling apart right there on the stage. It was horrible.
Okay.
I'm going to need at least a couple of $100 bills.
Is this a joke?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Would you like to speak with the manager?
I know that the Lakers aren't going to win the championship. They're probably going to lose to Denver anyway.
Okay.
I like watching LeBron and Anthony Davis.
God, it was so good. Then she hung up on us. I forgot how freaking great that was.
I still feel bad for that poor lady, but
I'm going to need a couple of hundred. It all fell apart on the stage last night. I mean, it was perfect. It says he misses these. All right. We'll bring one back. I'm going to try to get one done before the end of the year somehow. That was so good.
I'm going to need at least a couple hundred dollars.
I'm going to need at least a couple hundred dollars. So good.
All right, coming up on the...
And then right into Lakers talk. Right into Lakers talk.
I don't think they're going to win the championship.
Pretty on brand. I mean, you really could do a show without me. Sit on just an entire soundboard of Paul.
A whole day. God, that's good.
That should be... That's in 2025. That's the goal. Like, one day I'm not here. We don't tell anybody. And we see if Paulie can just...
We're on YouTube now.
Recreate me. Oh, I'll have to put up a cardboard cut. My cardboard cutout will just be sitting here. But for people who aren't watching on YouTube, how long will it take them to figure out that I'm not actually here and Paulie's just playing drops?
I mean, we do have a lot. We do have a lot of you. But yeah, I'd like to get... Paulie, let's get back in the lab at some point.
All right, coming up on the program today, no actual moves by the Padres, but plenty of news.
Lots of smoke.
Including... the agent for Roki Sasaki, Joel Wolf, holding a little press session and answering some questions about the process of recruitment for the biggest prize left, really, in the offseason, the one the Padres seemingly have the best chance of landing out of any free agent out there.
I got all excited for a while, and then Dennis Lynn came in and extinguished my fires. Did you see that?
I saw that, but I wouldn't say my fires have been extinguished. They're still kind of smoldering where they always were.
Okay.
Some rumors involving Dylan Cease trade talk. We mentioned that earlier. We can talk about that, how the Padres could manage their pitching staff using some of their bullpen members as well. A.J. Preller with some comments yesterday as he met with the media at the winter meetings. Had some signings, obviously, yesterday, including Max Fried getting a big deal. We can talk about some of the moves that went down from other organizations at the winter meetings yesterday. And, you know, the Nolan Arenado trade talk seemed to be heating up as well, as he has listed six teams where he is willing, and the San Diego Padres are one of them. I don't know what the fit looks like there, but they are on his list of teams that he'd be willing to go to if the Cardinals do swing a trade.
Yeah, also, huge, huge trade in baseball yesterday. And Chris Rose, who is our pal from the Chris Rose Rotation, he's going to join us. He's a big Guardians guy. And I wanted to just talk baseball with him because I love Chris Rose, but... He had some good reaction to the Guardians trade yesterday. They are making moves right now in Cleveland, and we'll see how he feels about that at 8:35.
Correct. We'll have our Rindle report and our regular features as well, including Take on Woods and Don't Do This in our 7 o'clock hour. So it should be a good middle week Wednesday program for you. We will get into some of the news yesterday. Maybe hear some of the sound from Roki Sasaki's agent. I heard Annie and Elston talking about it yesterday. I got some thoughts on their conversation as well when it comes to Roki Sasaki. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, we got confirmation yesterday on pretty much how the Roki Sasaki sweeps are going to play out when his agent, representing him here in America in his posting process with Major League Baseball, Joel Wolf, was at the winter meetings and answered questions, I thought fairly candidly, from members of the media.
Very candidly.
Yeah, basically he said, hey, this next week or so, they're going to start meeting with some teams. Then after going home for the holidays, they will finish up the process in January, coming back, probably doing some visits, going to the finalists and, you know, checking out the facilities and such. And then they will have their decision, which will not come until... after January 15th, or at least the signing will not become until after the new international window opens on January 15th. So until then, every team in baseball is in play for Roki Sasaki. He can look at all 30 teams, and really they weren't limiting their options yesterday. We're going to hear some sound from Joel Wolf, the agent for Roki Sasaki, right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, in my mind, there was really no bad news coming out of Joel Wolf yesterday. Now, he certainly said, yeah, you don't have to have a Japanese mentor on your team, a la a Yu Darvish. You don't, it doesn't have to be on the West Coast. He's keeping his options open. But as you're listening to him talk, it certainly felt like the Padres, you know, checked a lot of the boxes for what Roki Sasaki is looking for, specifically when he talked about what kind of market he'd want to play in the United States.
Do you think he would consider small to mid-market teams?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there's an argument to be made that a smaller mid-market team might be more beneficial for him as a soft landing coming from Japan, given what he's been through. Sorry if I'm not doing this right. Given what he's been through and not having an enjoyable experience with the media, it might be... it might be. I'm not saying it will be, but I don't know how he's going to view it. It might be beneficial for him to be in a smaller market. But I really don't know how he looks at it yet, because I haven't had a chance to really sit down and, you know, discuss it with him in great detail.
All right. So I was listening to some of these comments yesterday during the Annie and Elston program, and I'll tell you what, if I heard that and I was the, you know, the Dodgers or the Mets,
Yankees,
or the Yankees, I'd be a little nervous. And I didn't know some of the background. You know, we've talked about Roky Sasaki a lot, but the fact that he had not had a great relationship with the media in Japan was not something I was really aware of. I kind of looked into it a little bit more, and you know, his desire to come over to the United States and play is apparently made him the target of criticism over there. Like, hey, why don't you want to pitch here in Japan and,
yeah,
you know, be here in
that
front of your Japanese fans? What's the obsession with going to America? And he's faced a lot of, you know.
Did they do that with Ichiro and Yu? And
so, Ichiro and Yu stayed a little bit longer.
They're
Yamamoto,
so revered.
They stayed. This guy is, you know, he's trying to buck the system by coming over early like Ohtani did. Ultimately, Ohtani is still beloved in Japan. They didn't end up hating him forever because he came over to play for the Angels. My guess is Roky Sasaki is going to be fine, but he may not want the, you know, the giant Japanese media scrutiny that would come from playing in Los Angeles or New York. It's already built in Los Angeles with Ohtani there.
How many in L.A.?
How many,
like,
what?
30 extra?
Oh, yeah, the reporters?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a ton. Here in San Diego, there's like one or two that cover, you know, the Japanese players, Yu Darvish.
Which would increase,
Yukimatsui,
right?
They'd probably add another one or two, but it's never going to get to the level of
Ohtani.
You know, 22 dozen guys.
It's another press box. It's crazy.
Yeah. I tweeted yesterday, I won't even look at him. As a member of the media, if he comes here to pitch in San Diego, I won't even look at him. Go in the club. When we go to the clubhouse our four times a year, how you doing? Tip my hat and keep walking. You're not going to find a softer landing space than this market. We are the softest media on the planet. Everyone tells us all the time how soft we are. I'll wear it. And now, I want you all to apologize to us if we land Roky Sasaki. Okay? That is, I'm going to demand an apology for being soft media that, you know, just likes to have fun and watch the team win.
I mean, once he's here, you can be as hard as you want.
I'm not going to
for
be.
For now, though, please be very nice to Roky Sasaki.
I'm not. Why would I be mean? If he comes out and does what he's capable of doing, it's going to be great.
And you know what? And our Sammy Levitt took the bull by the horns and just, he was there and asked Joel Wolf specifically.
Well, he's crushed it.
Is Padres, would they be a good fit?
Joel, considering his admiration for you, Darvish, relationship potentially with you, how would a team like, say, the San Diego Padres fit as a suitor?
I would assume that would be a team that he would seriously consider, but, you know, his relationship with Darvish is private between the two of them, and how much that will weigh on his decision making, we'll have to find out.
How open would he be to be playing with some of his former WBC teammates, whether it be Darvish or Yamamoto?
Is that an LA report?
That's a good question. You know, just a few years ago when I was representing Senga, one of the questions we heard from many teams, and then I heard again with Yamamoto, was it an obstacle to signing the player by having other Japanese players on the team, or was it an attraction? And it's different for every single player. Each player is unique.
What's wrong with his mic?
How they feel about it, and I think it also matters on the player that is already on the team. How much do they reach out to other Japanese players? How are they perceived by this particular Japanese player? And it just varies player to player.
With Roky and his age, do you think it's more beneficial, or, you know, the attraction part of it? Is he leaning that way?
I think it could be.
It's a great agent, man. Great agent.
It could be to have an older player to help him
you know, show him the ropes, but anyone that knows Roky Sasaki, this is one of the most driven, intense players I've ever known and been around. Incredibly hardworking, and I wouldn't say that he would necessarily need it to succeed. I think
he's in an interesting spot, and people are talking about it in the chat. You know, this is a really interesting spot for an agent, because your cut on Roky Sasaki is not going to be huge right now. This is the long game for an agent, because the international bonus pool money, call it $6 million, $7 million tops. Yeah, I want to make sure that he's covered in endorsements and gets the attention he wants, or the attention that he needs financially, but may not actually want, right? So it's a really interesting player that we're all talking about here. He did mention, too, you know, again, the difficulty he had with some of the Japanese media and how it affected his mental health. And I do want to point to something that happened here last year when Yu Darvish needed to be away from the team for a while. I saw somebody, and it's a guy we know, yesterday was like, man, Yu Darvish was, come here to San Diego. Yu Darvish was gone for 3 months and the morning show didn't even ask where he was. No, we didn't. Because it's when they say he's got a personal matter he's tending to, it's so dumb of us to speculate.
Were we the only ones that didn't ask that?
No, I don't think so.
Anybody asked.
No, and again, it's the respect that you earned throughout his career. This isn't, I wasn't worried about Yu Darvish sitting in a hotel room with a needle in his arm or something. You know what I mean? Like, that was not a concern.
I think most of us, if not all of us here in San Diego, had enough respect for Yu Darvish to know that whatever he was dealing with was important.
And personal and private.
And that the Padres were handling it the best way that they thought, and we didn't need to dive into that.
Yeah, I was not about to go start asking questions of the front office. So what's really going on? Because, you know, if anybody wanted that business to be known, they would have made it public.
And some would say that makes you a bad reporter, a bad journalist.
Well, not a reporter,
that you're not.
Though.
You're not curious, but I do believe that there are certain lines that
you don't cross.
You know,
AJ Cassaville, Dennis Lynn, Kevin Acey, nobody was writing about it because nobody was stupid enough to search that story out.
Yeah.
I'm going to serve the interest of the public and the fan, but I didn't see why having the, you know, intimate details of what you was going through would service anything other than satisfying people's
curiosity,
you know, of what was going on in someone's private life.
Well, I know for a fact there were people employed by the Padres that had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, 100%.
They kept it very, very tightly.
As they have done a good job of doing lately in that organization. I will give them a lot of credit for that, much to our chagrin in a lot of cases, right? They've been pretty tight-lipped. That said, if you're Roky Sasaki and you do have a conversation with Yu Darvish, Yu Darvish can speak to how much they helped him and valued his mental health by letting him be away from the team. And again, you doing the honorable thing of not getting paid while he was gone. I mean, the whole thing is it sets up a little bit too nicely right now for a fit for Roky Sasaki here.
So clearly, you know, Joel Wolf wants to be careful and not, you know, put words in his client's mouth, a client that he doesn't know particularly well yet. You know, this is a fairly new relationship with him coming over to the United States. So you heard a lot of hedging, but you could read between the lines. You don't jump out and say, yeah, I think a smaller to mid-market team could actually be a really good fit if
Correct.
You don't believe that. And I heard Annie and Elston talking about it yesterday, seeing it in our chat. You can't trust what the agents are saying. They have an agenda. They're trying to get the biggest deal possible. That's not the case here. You know, the money is not, there's not going to be a difference in the money. He actually said, honestly, the difference between the bonus pools, which will be, you know, the Dodgers have about $5 million, the Padres have about $6 million, some teams can get up to $7 million. He said it's not going to be a factor at all.
Nope.
You know, now should the Padres maximize their bonus pool, trade for some more money, and make
yes.
it? Yeah, I think they probably should try to make the biggest offer possible. But ultimately, that's not going to be the decision. So you're not playing teams against each other here. They can't offer anything extra. There's really no incentive to be dishonest in this situation. You want to be careful and not, you know, speak out of school, out of turn about a client that, you know, you don't want to offend. But otherwise, you know, what I take what he is saying is fairly face value and accurate, that he probably wants a smaller market team or a mid-market team that's not going to have the bright bright lights and big glare of an LA or a New York, that's not best for him. You know, while having a Japanese player isn't required, it might be a pretty good idea to have someone like that there. I mean, a lot of the signs I heard yesterday at least point in the direction of the Padres being a very attractive option.
It does. I tend to feel like that's what any agent would want you to think. I do believe in agent speak. There's a method to everything that they do and everything they say. Everything is calculated. Is it out of the realm of possibility that, let's say, the Dodgers have $6 million to spend and they hear that and they panic and they go and trade for more money and now it's $7 million offer? You
no,
know what I mean?
Like, but I think I do believe him when he says the fit needs to be right. The media situation needs to be right. I do believe him when he says that because, again, he's just gone through it, right? And I can see if you're Roki Sasaki wanting to say, yeah, I don't need 30 people following me to my locker every freaking day, man, asking me, you know, what I did, what I didn't do. Dennis Lynn said in his piece in The Athletic, too, then again, despite public rhetoric, the Padres do not view themselves as prohibitive favorites for Sasaki. Preller is known for his relentless concoction of contingency plans. And in the meantime, the market for starting pitching is really moving. So
that shows me that the Padres aren't foolish.
If
they were considering themselves like, we got him in the bag, that'd be the worst. That would be the worst tactic at this moment. It would seem arrogant to think that you're definitely getting him. And it would also show me that you're not, you know, considering the possibility that you don't get him. They need to be looking at other avenues as well. No one can count on Roki Sasaki coming to their team at this point. Padres do need to be pursuing all avenues, and they will. You know, Chris in the chat says, I don't think the Padres should put all their baskets in on Roki, eggs in that one basket. They will put everything they have toward getting Roki Sasaki, but that won't prevent them from doing anything else. It's not a, you know, they're not spending money on Roki Sasaki, essentially. So there's nothing,
I mean,
there's nothing to be lost in the pursuit of Roki Sasaki.
There's a lot of good fits for him. If that's really what he wants, if a mid-market team,
Seattle,
Cleveland, I mean, Chicago, Chicago's just a big market, but like, you know, there's good fits for him. That aren't just here. So I'm not going to let myself get too excited about it, but hey, man, if you want a soft landing, Roki, I got you, dude. He did say he doesn't like people that are very verbose, so we're going to have to put a ball gag on our verbose friend over here. Our very verbose Benjamin Higgins. Look, now he's not even going to talk. I need you to talk some today, just not when he gets here. I've muted him.
We'll be back.